Who has more fun?
We do.
At least you and I do anyway, huh?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God, I tell you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you all here today. And say, I wanted to say too, you know, when we do the announcements every Sunday, we repeat a lot of the things that we're doing within the church. We do that for a reason, because there may be visitors and new people watching, and we're doing it because we lack anything to say, because, you know, I can think of something else to say if I have to, but we do that just to keep everybody up to date week after week, amen?
Amen.
So you're patient with that, aren't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we it gives the younger people an opportunity to get used to being up here too, so we're happy about it. But anyway, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world."
Yeah.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. We're not to be conformed to this world. And we're being pressured to be conformed to this world a lot today, aren't we? But the Lord tells us don't be conformed to it. So I wanted to bring that out because my message today is another one. How many like to be discipled? You want to be discipled. You want to make sure that your life, you're growing in the Lord, you're being mature, and you're willing to hear subject matters that relate to help us to continue to grow in the Lord, rather than just be a bless me club. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why, with the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit, I look for messages that will help us to grow, myself included, in order to make it through this world that we're living in right now. And I think everybody agree, it's not the same world it was 10 years ago, is it? We can hear the shouts and the screams throughout our nation and the world right now. Something's happening. God is on the move. A lot of great things are happening, but a lot of bad things are happening at the same time. And the people who will see the good things are the ones that are close to the Lord and knowing His word and putting their trust in Him and will not become fearful as the days get darker and darker, and they are. And there's an evil, evil design on this nation to destroy it. And we need to be aware of that and not take this nation for granted too, to be thankful for America. And so anyway, be not conformed to this world. And my title for today is being a truthful person. We should be a truthful person, shouldn't we?
Amen.
Anyway, I'll touch on it today. It's one of the things that's spoken of in Scripture, and God wants us to be truthful people. And so, if I step on your toes today, hey, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, hopefully, huh? If you wore steel-tipped shoes, that's probably good. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're here this morning with us. Whether we feel you or not, you're here because your word is true. You said where two or three are gathered in your midst that you're here. So, Lord, we thank you for being here. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Let your anointing be upon the congregation. Open our spiritual ears and eyes to receive and to hear your word, Lord, that it will compel us, that it will encourage us, that it will convict us and help us to grow in you, that you can use our life. For there's much to be done in this world once we leave the walls of this building, every day within our home, within our job, within our school, within our marketplace. There's work to be done. And Lord, you want us to become fired up in our spirits, to become bold as lions, to live out the life no matter what. And we're being challenged today, even by Islam within America. Lord, help your people to stand up and to be as bold as they're becoming, that we can stand for the truth. We have the truth. We have the word of God, the truth, the one and only God. And it isn't Allah. You're not the same God. That Allah is not even a God. But Lord, they would have us believe that. But Lord, we serve you, the one true God. And we praise you, we love you, we magnify you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody shout it!
Amen!
Hallelujah! Glory to God. I'm just going to have you do it one more time. I know we were just standing a little bit ago, but you don't have to stand if you have difficulty doing it. But if you can, just stand up with me. Yeah, just turn around, look at each person and say, boy, am I glad I'm here today. I'm going to find out, say to somebody, I'm going to find out today whether I'm telling the truth or not. You may be seated. See, it was easier to stand up and do instead of sitting, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, the Bible is straightforward in saying that lying is a sin. And it's very offensive to God. Very offensive to the Lord. And this message is another to help you and I to become disciples of Christ and to look at areas in our life that maybe the Holy Spirit needs to help us with. Because believe me, we're all leaky vessels. We all have the capability of sinning just like the world does. But we have a Father now, an advocate with Him. We can go to Him and ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to help us and convict us and not to do the things like the world do. And learning to live and follow Jesus and becoming more like Him and living that out in the world is vitally important in the time we live. Numbers chapter 23, if you have your Bibles with you, verse 19 says, God is not a man to lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Amen. Let God be true, and every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You don't want to stand before the Lord and be judged as a liar. You sure don't want to be. And if you have that tendency, whether people call it today a little white, it's what they call it, that's not as, doesn't hurt as bad or whatever, it needs to be repented of. And we don't want to do that either. But these verses emphasize that God's truth and faithfulness remain intact regardless of human fallibility, of our dishonesty in our own life. God's word is still true, isn't it? It's still true. And do you think that there's a problem with dishonesty today? It's become even more intense, especially in our political system. But when it happens into the population also, and dishonesty and lying is so intense today, you can't watch anything, not even an advertisement hardly, without somebody lying. Well, you know something? Even in our generation, my generation, when Andy Griffin was on, if you listen to his programs, he had nothing but a liar. He lied all the time. Barney lied, Aunt Bee lied, Opie lied. They all lied. Leave it to Beaver. They lied all the time in that show. And a lot of people aren't even aware of it, but they are. They become liars. And even though Andy didn't want Opie to be a liar, he lied in front. So we got to be careful what we're listening to on television and on the news and everything, because we're being lied to. And pretty soon we become liars and not even realizing it, because it's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit in the world today. So lying, it seems to be the American pastime today. And it's getting harder to find truth anywhere. You can't trust anybody when you buy a product. Are they giving us the truth on it, or are they lying to us? You can't even trust the medical world today. You can't trust anything. And by the way, let me just halt here for a moment. Marty Dom, our hearts are with you today. She lost her brother this week, Dan Ridgway, and our hearts are with you as the body of Christ. It's always hard to lose a loved one. But anyway, Al Pacino said, "I always tell the truth, even when I lie." In 1991, James Patterson wrote a book called The Day America Told the Truth. Here is the opening sentence of that book. "Americans lie. They lie more than we ever imagined when we began this study, but they told us the truth about how much they lie." And it says, just about everyone lies. 91% of us lie regularly. Most of us find it hard to go through the week without lying. Lying undermines the bonds and trust and create relationships and community and give strength to a nation. According to a 2002 University of Massachusetts study, 60% of adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. The average is 3 in a 10-minute conversation. So I have a question, but I don't want you to raise your hands when I ask these questions. Okay, we want to continue to love each other. Why do we lie? We lie to protect ourselves. We lie to avoid punishment. We lie to gain an advantage. We lie to get people on our side to do what we want. We lie to escape blame. We lie to impress other people. We lie to make others feel better. We lie to make ourselves feel competent. We lie to avoid embarrassment. We lie for a thrill of control. We lie to get out of something we don't want to do. Make ourselves look better. We lie about. We lie about protecting others' feelings sometimes. And the deist, Voltaire, said, "I am very fond of the truth, but I'm not fond of martyrdom." And here's what he means by that. And this is Voltaire's way of saying that I would really like to live in a world where we tell the truth all the time, but I've come to realize that if I tell the truth all the time, then one day someone will kill me. He lived during 1694 to 1778. Did he not bring that up relevant for today? Remember Charlie Kirk?
Yes.
Remember? They didn't like it that he told the truth. Remember the other disciples? Remember Jesus himself? They hated him because he always told the truth. This world does not like the truth. But when we come to Christ and we become born again, we should take on Jesus' character and desire never to lie with God's help, even though we will be doing it. And if we do, we need to ask for forgiveness, not make it a habit. But again, don't raise your hands. How many of you have told a lie in the last 3 years? I'm not that they call them when your wife asks, "How does she look in those jeans?" Wow. I'm talking about purposely told lies. How many in the last year have told a lie? How many in the last month? How many in the last week? How many have already told a lie this morning? I see a lot of Snickers, and I'm not talking candy bars. But you realize it. If we could record ourselves, and maybe we don't, we have a tendency to lie. And the Holy Spirit wants to work upon our hearts and lives to help us to be more like Jesus. The second question is a little bit easier. How many of you would say that you are an honest person? Don't raise your hand. How many would say that you're an honest person? But let me say, if you just admitted you're a liar on the previous questions and now you say you're an honest person, how can that be? Yeah. Are you still with me?
Yes.
I'm just beginning. Psychologists have an answer. They say the reason we can hold two conflicting ideas about ourselves is our brain is because we have the power to rationalize things. God give us that ability. We don't technically see them as lies, so it doesn't affect our self-worth or our idea of honesty. I wasn't really lying. I was exaggerating. I was embellishing. I was just fudging the truth a little. I was just leaving some stuff out. See, we rationalize away lying to make ourselves feel better. And with this kind of attitude is that it creates a culture like the one that we have and are currently living in today. Because that's what everyone, especially again when you watch the news, they try to rationalize away their lies when they even get caught. And I think we all know the more lies there are in society, the more difficult it is to navigate through the culture to determine what is really truth. And see, our young people today hear that too from adult people. Those little ears, boy, they listen. They hear what the adults are saying. And if they hear mommy and daddy, whomever, big brother, big sister, whatever, those little ears pick it up. And the next time if they tell a lie and they get caught on it and get in trouble for it, the first thing they say, you told a lie. Because they pick it up. And so there's a reason we ask the Lord, especially as God's people, Christian, born-again Christians, to be Christ-like in how we talk and be careful how we're saying it and what we say. I thought this was a good one by Winston Churchill. I no longer listen to what people say. I just watch what they do. Behavior never lies. I want to know pastors tell the truth when they're standing behind a pulpit. I want to know that. And there's too many today that aren't doing it. I just want our leaders, our politicians and our media people today, I want them to tell the truth so we really know what's going on in our world around us that can protect us, keep us safe. I want to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. As 2026 progresses, closer to the midterm election in November, we are going to be bombarded with lies. They're already started. And they're really increasing. Distortion of the truth at every turn is a lie. From the lips of politicians, political ads, cable news network, lies are flooding everyone's news feed on the social media, and it's a demonic spirit. It's a lying spirit, and it wants to come into your home. That spirit of demonic lying wants to use you to be a deceiver. To be deceitful, never to tell the truth, even if you can avoid getting in trouble. You shouldn't tell a lie.
Amen.
It only lasts for a moment.
That's right.
You get corrected. It's better to be corrected and tell the truth, isn't it?
Amen.
Tragically, the challenge we now face as Americans is not who is telling the truth, but who is telling the least amount of lies. That's where we're at today. And it's affecting the church. And that's why I felt led to speak on it today. As prevalent as lying and dishonesty seems to be in our day, the truth is that lying has been around from the beginning of creation. Way back in that garden, remember that in paradise? When Satan, the father of lies, began bombarding mankind with lies, did God really say? Started way back at the beginning. And unfortunately, in Genesis chapter 3, 1-5, I'm not going to turn to it, but Adam and Eve both took a bite out of his lies, and you know the rest of the story, don't we? The lie, they would not die. Remember, Satan said, surely you will not die. But he was lying to them, that they would become as gods, little gods. We now live not in the garden of paradise, but in a fallen, corrupt, and broken world. In John chapter 8, the religious leaders are refusing to see the truth that Jesus was the one who the scripture had promised. What Jesus said to them in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Wasn't Jesus always truthful?
Amen.
"Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." According to Jesus, when we lie, we are untruthful. We're untruthful. Every time we tell a lie, whether you think we're untruthful. And that's Jesus' thoughts on it right there. Every time we lie, we're serving the father of lies, the devil. He's the father of them. We are carrying out the devil's desires. Every time we lie to our parents, every time we lie to a coworker, every time we lie to a husband or a wife, family member, every time we spew out any kind of a lie, we become like our father, the devil. Now, Jesus said that I didn't. He told the Pharisees that. We are speaking his native language. We, and I don't even want to say, belong to the devil sometimes the way we talk. Every time we spew out a lie, we need to repent of that. How many want to be like the devil? I sure don't. I ask God to help me, and I'm preaching to myself too. I don't want the devil my father. But if I tell a lie, I'm listening to him as my father. And I become like him. Jesus made it perfectly clear that those who live in his kingdom are not to be, that will not live in his kingdom. They will be liars. They will not be truthful people. You and I to be known as truthful people. That when we say something, you can believe it. We may even have to be truthful sometimes when it hurts. But it's better to be truthful than to be a liar. Matthew 5:33 says, "Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear," meaning taking an oath, "thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." But most of the people, most of us would nod with agreement on that. We really would. We're to perform that oath when we make it. Forswear here means to commit perjury. Break your oath. The word used means to swear falsely. Numbers 32 says, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do accordingly to all the procedure out of his mouth." Follow through and do what you made the oath for and the promise. Just do it. Even when you change your mind, say, "Oh, I wish I had told him I'd do this or that." An oath is a very serious thing that we take. Defined as a formal declaration or promise to fulfill a pledge, often calling on God. And we're familiar with the oath that we hear in the courtroom, like on Perry Mason and different law shows. It says, "I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." But they don't say, "So help me God," anymore. Have you noticed that? They don't say that in a courtroom anymore, "So help me God." They'll say that part of it, but not "so help me God." But it says, "So help me God." In fact, Perry Mason, just watched an episode the other night. The guy makes him say the oath. They never say, "So help me God." And we need to be aware of that. That's the world, conforming to the world, because it might offend somebody to use the word God. That's the most important part of the oath. You see what we're happening to us? One of the primary purposes of an oath, even in the Old Testament time, were to seal agreement or a promise. In the first century, oaths had been extended out into the culture in the marketplace. People would take oaths when they were dealing in transactions. They would take them when they were exchanging property, selling animals or livestock, and that sort of thing. And you trusted them because they made an oath. God has no problem with oaths, but he did have a problem with how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were using them to promote lying, to promote lying. One passage on this religious elite distorted and twisted and taught others to do the same in Leviticus 19:12, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane," that means reverence, irreverence, "the name of God. I am the Lord." God said we're not to take his name. What is God saying here? He's saying if you invoke my name in an oath for people to believe what you're saying is true, and you are swearing falsely, you are lying. You profane my name. So don't do it. Don't do it. How many people are trying to tell a lie or convinced that, hey, I'm telling you the truth, and they're really not? And then we put God's name in there. If I invoke the name of the Lord in my oath, I am bound. I'm obligated to keep it. We know the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were also looking for loopholes in the law that would allow them to kind of keep the law, at least in their mind, but to look for ways to get around it. Maybe I should not swear an oath in the name of God, but instead substitute something else for his name. How about that? They got into the habit of substituting words that seemed to relate to God, but weren't the same as swearing directly to God. They had convinced themselves with the help of the religious elite that if you don't swear by God's name, then you are not promising to do what you said you would do or actually doing it. Like making a promise with our fingers crossed behind our back. In the time of Christ, oath-taking has become a lie-making. Instead of promoting confidence, it promoted skepticism. Instead of mark of integrity, oaths became a sign of deceit. If I swear by something less than God, it's okay to lie, to not keep my promise. Jesus takes that attitude and belief head on. That happens in church ministries that are dependent upon people to fulfill commitments. It happens in every church. People promise, they make an oath that they'll be there. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. I'll be there. I'll be on time. But they're not. They either don't show up. People will commit to help. They'll commit to do things, but they never show up. And then they won't even be decent enough to call the person that they made the promise to or the oath to be there, to let them know that they're not going to be there, which puts the ministry in trouble. Look bad too. And every time we commit to doing something for the Lord and we don't do it, we're lying. And people who make those commitments and then come to church and won't come to church that Sunday, and I'm talking in general the church, that's lying. That's lying to God, and it's lying to the people, and it breaks trust. Can I really depend on those people? Because they said they're going to be there. They said they were going to help. But where are they? They're not here. Ouch. Ouch. Because it's the truth. There's to one another. And again, I'm talking to the church in general. And if you commit to something within the church, you need to follow through with it. And if you can't, you need to pick up the phone. You need to get on your little phone, email, text or something, and let that person that you made that promise and commitment to saying something happened, changed, I'm not going to be able to make it, rather than just not even show up. That really puts a minute, especially in smaller churches that are dependent more on people than the big ones. And so I want to encourage us as a church and those watching, if we do that type of thing, because in actuality, we're lying to God. Now, I know you're still with me. Amen. I know some are saying, quit meddling. James 5:12 says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not." Make an oath. That's what it's talking about. "Neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Be honest. Don't lie. Don't tell somebody something. Jews and Arabs were notorious for that. When you go affirmatives, very simple things that they did not have to lie about, they lied about it. It was a wicked practice. It caused James to give that command right there because it was happening a lot during his time. Condemnation here means deceit. It says you fall into condemnation. Condemnation means deceit, hypocrisy, is that those who were in the habit of making an oath or a promise believe they could make them with the mouth while the heart canceled them. They knew they would not follow through, basically not being truthful. They knew it already in advance. They just said it to get past the person to look good. This was all done in hypocrisy, and it fostered the searing of the conscience as to what it was said. And people that do it so often, they don't even, it doesn't bother them anymore. It doesn't bother them that they lied to somebody. They just go on with their life, and it becomes part of who they are. And that's why we're not to conform to the world. Amen. Lord, help me if I made a promise to somebody and I'm thinking about cutting out. Help me either contact that person or follow through on what I told them that I would do. That's a decent thing to do, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus would do? And that's what we need to think about. Matthew chapter, "Say unto you, swear," meaning swear falsely, "not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is a footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear falsely by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." Jesus is saying, God is everywhere, and he's in every one of our conversations. He knows when we speak out falsehoods. He knows when we're not being honest and we're being liars. He knows it all. Do you think he have found some clever way of making lying okay and breaking a promise acceptable, such that you are safe from my judgment? You could not be more wrong, Jesus. We will be judged for lying. And you might say, well, I'll just lie and I'll just ask God to forgive me. He'll forgive me and then I'm okay. If you, that's your mentality, that's a dangerous mentality to have, because it's no longer from the heart. It's from the head. Well, it actually comes from the heart. And it becomes dangerous when we no longer care. And people do it so much that they just, it doesn't bother them. They hurt people. They hurt a ministry. They hurt somebody at their job, school, whatever, in the home. We shouldn't do that. We need God's help, not to become liars, but to be people of truth. Feel about lying and breaking oaths. Psalms 101:7, and I only could pull a few because there's so many. Psalms 101:7, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house." That's pretty serious. When we deceive people, when we're deceitful, God says right here, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Ouch! Do you think that's doesn't apply to us because it's in the Psalms? No, that's part of eternal words that will stand forever. Proverbs 6:12-13, "A naughty person," meaning an evil and an ungodly person, "a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth," meaning he's perverse and he's a liar. He has a lying mouth. God hates lying people. God rebukes it. And it, guess what? It destroys our spirit, our eternal soul. It will destroy us. Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." God likes it when we're truthful. Even if it's hurting somebody, we tell them the truth in love. Proverbs 6:16-19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, even are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Those are things God hates, literally. Disgusted. He's disgusted with them. And when we try to bring discord into a body of believers just to get people on their side, think how horrible that is in God's ears. Because we're truly lying to him. The word abomination expresses in strongest terms disgust and hatred for these things. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. The fate of all liars. Listen, this is the fate of how many liars?
All.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars. If you're a liar, one lie will make you a liar. Shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'm saying God forgives when you and I come to him through for salvation. He forgives and forgets. But as a Christian, if we continually, habitually live in lies, I'll let God be God. I'm going to err on the side of God where he says I hate lying. And ask him to forgive me and not use his word for an opportunity to continue lying by ask for forgiveness. I'll lie again, ask for forgiveness, because it's no longer truth what you're telling God either. You're only doing it because you think you're going to have a fire escape. And we need to be aware of it, never to become an habitual liar. Habitual liars don't even know they lie sometimes. They'll do it with a straight face. Look at these politicians, they sit on there looking at multitudes and hundreds of thousands of people with a straight face and lie, and they think they're telling the truth. Right. And it's dangerous. We conform to the ways of the world. And we are to think about lying. The scriptures I'm bringing out, when you read them, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and say, God, help me not to do it. I love you, Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. Lying, it can become addictive. It can. And usually gives birth to more sin is what lying does. Lying makes us believe that if we get away with it, we can repeat it. Well, I got away with that one. I'll just go lie to somebody else. I know this person's a real soft soak, so I can just lie to them. They think I'm always telling the truth. And we're always thinking. But there's one that hears the conversation that doesn't miss a heartbeat. Amen. Jeremiah 9:5, and they labor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. That means they become to practice lying. They do it so much it's a practice with them now. They taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. When we learn to lie, we begin to do new sins, do other sins in our life, because our conscience is seared now and we no longer let lying bother us. So now we can do something else and that bothers us either, because it destroys relationships too. Do we want the people? Do we? Do we want friends and family and people, the body of Christ, do we want each other to be disgusted with each other and in some cases, hate? Because when you're lied to, it's a very, very hurtful thing when you're being lied to. And it can bring hate. And we need to be aware of that. It's hard to deal with people who fabricate stories to make themselves look good and credible. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's God's command to us. We're not to lie. And I'm going to bring it back to the church level again in general. If you're asked to do something in the church and you can't do it, say, I can't do it. And if you say, I'm going to do it, then you need to do it. And not just show up. That's lying. You need to follow through because you're serving the Lord. It's not for us. It's for Him within the church realm. And that's better to be honest with somebody. People trust people who are honest. Just tell the truth. They may not even like, they may say, hey, I don't ever want to talk to you again. That's the risk you take for telling the truth. But telling the truth, according to God, wants me to do that. He wants me to be honest. When we lie and are untruthful to one another, first it's wrong and it indicates a lack of love. When we lie to our loved ones, do we truly love them the way we're supposed to? Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Now, God's pretty smart. He knows mankind. He created us. But He says right here, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. It destroys. That's why we're not to lie to one another. When we lie to one another, we're not loving our brother. These verses suggest that lying can harm others. It indicates a lack of genuine care for them. Word afflicted here meaning those that are crushed and injured and oppressed by it. That's what lies do when we lie to one another. Whether we think it's a simple lie or not, a lie will destroy. God said it. I didn't. I read you the scriptures. Destroys self-esteem. If you're having a problem with your self-esteem and you're lying, you're destroying, the devil's tricking you, and you're destroying your own self-esteem. Lies make people more insecure with themselves. It creates a yourself and the truth. It can lead to the feelings of guilt and shame, which negativity impact your self-worth and overall your mental health too. It can lead to feelings of guilt. In a world overflowing with lies and liars. Jesus says that those who live in His kingdom are to be people of truth. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Doing what?
Putting away.
If you catch yourself starting to tell a lie, stop it right there. If the Holy Spirit said, hey, I'm going to tell an untruth. I'm going to say something. You stop yourself. Say, excuse me. And do it. Even if it puts you in an embarrassing situation. I've done that. It's hard sometimes. We all got to work on it, don't we? We all do. Continually. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's your Heavenly Father to put that in the Word. We're to be truthful with one another. I should be able to trust what you tell me. And you should be able to trust me what I tell you. But if you tell me you're going to do something here, then you should do it. Because when we don't, we break trust. And we should never do that especially in the body of Christ. We should just be honest. And things come up in life and change. That's when you call up. You let somebody know, sorry, this happened. Be truthful about that too. How many people don't even go to talk in general now, not just this church? How many people don't come to church and they get a frivolous lie? They tell a preacher, they tell a Sunday school teacher, or a Sunday school teacher, or a deacon, or whomever, for not being in church. We're lying. God knows when we're lying and we're not. And that's all it. All you need to say, Matthew 5:37, let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Swearing, oath-taking is really pathetic confession of our own dishonesty, is what it is. Why do we find it necessary to introduce our promise by some tremendous formula like, I swear by the Archangel Gabriel? And all the hosts of heaven, I swear by it. St. Christopher, I swear by it. I swear by the Holy Bible what I said. dangerous. The only reason is that we know our simple words are not likely to be trusted because we know we're liars. And when we got to put God in there to make somebody believe us, to trust us, it's because we know who we are. The author A.M. Hunter puts it this way, "Oaths arise because men are so often liars." He said it right on. Again, in a world overwhelming with lies and liars, Jesus says that those who live in his kingdom are to be people of truth. I want to keep repeating that. Jesus says that those who live in his kingdom are to be people of truth. Being a truthful person is part of the armor that God calls you to wear so that you can take the evil one. Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins," meaning your hip, "fastened to your girt, fastened to self, about with," what?
Truth.
That's part of our armory. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." See, the belt of a Roman soldier held all the other parts of the armor together. The belt did. In like manner, the belt of truth holds together the armor of the Christian. Truth is what's holding our armor together when we exercise the armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is God, truth.
Yes.
Jesus said, "I am truth." It's our personal integrity and honesty speaking the truth one to another, to anyone. So in conclusion, this is a huge subject, people. I'm only touching the tip of it when you get in and see what God says about liars all the way through Scripture. There's hundreds of Scriptures. That's how serious God takes it. He wants us, he's warning us not to become liars, but to be liars. The outcome's not pleasant. A few questions as we wrap it up. Don't raise your hands. Are you a person? Have you kind of put lying in the "it's no big deal" category? No big deal. You better read the word. Maybe rationalizing that you are technically lying, but not really. Do people trust what you are saying is the truth when you're talking to them? Do you ever have to add some kind of oath to get people to believe you? "I'm telling you the truth. I swear to God" is a popular one. "I swear on the Bible I'm telling you the truth." But usually that's an indication there may be a lie there. Using God's name in his word. Can you be trusted to keep your promise? Are there any promises you need to follow through with the Lord that you said you would do? How many people lie to God? They say, "God, I'll do this if you do that. I'm going to do that." You make an oath to God and then you don't do it. You lie to him. Have you kept your promises to God? Have you kept them? Even serving him, have you kept it? Because the one I serve as the pastor of this church, I serve God. And I thank God for where I've been here for 15 years now with his help, not because I'm a wonderful person, but because of the grace of God and his mercy, that I'm here usually every Sunday. Why? Because I love him. And I promised him I would do it. I don't back away. And there's times when I just soon not be up here. There's times when I just soon stay home. God knows. But I say, "Lord, I promised you. You never backed away from me." See, God made a promise. He sent his son that died on a cross. He kept that promise. Jesus said, "I'm going to take your pain and your agony, your shame and everything that you should be getting, but I promise you, I'm going to do it for you." He kept his promise. He could have lied. He could have said something else, but he didn't. He was truthful. Even up on the cross, becoming a truthful person. Never lie to someone who trusts you, and never trust someone who lies to you. I'm going to say that again. Never lie to someone who trusts you, and never trust someone who lies to you. And through our marriage, I know as a younger guy too, you know, sometimes guy. And as I get older and older, my wife, I think she probably figures out too. We learn to, even though the wife might get mad or the husband might get mad, just tell them the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Young people, tell mom and dad the truth. It may, if you're real young, it may be a little board of correction on the seat of understanding. Search for the cracks. Spending some time looking at the major areas of your life. Look for them. Work, home, church, wherever, identifying truth issues. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Where do I have a truth problem? Look for patterns. Is there a certain area where you have a weakness? Are there certain situations where you struggle with the truth? And Holy Spirit, where are those in my life? But face the music. Face the music. Face your flaws. Admit your mistakes and apologize to those who you have hurt. Stop running from the truth. Let's do that now in the world that we're living in right now that is bombarded with lies everywhere. In the church, out of the church, wherever, they've been magnified. Rebuild is one thing. It's another way to build a new future. To become an honest person, it feels good too. Create a plan that will make you a more truthful person. And I'll finish with these two scriptures here. Psalms 34:13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking lies. Meaning a sense of deceiving, deceit, false, not being truthful. God says, keep thy tongue. I got to do it. I got to keep my tongue from doing it. Psalms 102:2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Those are two prayers that we need to maybe put up on the mirror in the bathroom. Maybe somewhere on the dash in the car. Maybe on our desk if you're at work. Maybe in your purse when you open up, those two scriptures come out there. Let's all stand, please. I speak serious messages because we're in serious times. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go right to prayer right now. And everyone in here, if you agree with me that we need to work on not lying, you come on up here. They'll want to. You don't have to. But if you want to be part of when we pray, let's do it together. Make this altar always a place where we can come to, where the Holy Spirit will speak to us. I need help every day. Any other salesmen in here? I've been a salesman most of my life. And believe me, I get challenged. Many times I've been challenged whether to embellish a product or a service. When I had to stop myself, as a Christian, I knew it wasn't a good thing to do, and it's easy to do. But the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And thank you. Thank you for being part of and listening. And I believe God is going to do something in this church and many other churches in the land. In the days and the months ahead, should Jesus tarry, God's going to do something different within churches. And we are literally going to see the true body of Christ rising up, because God will use the true body, those that walk in truth. There's going to be something happening in this world realm, and it's going to come so fast. Don't wait till then. Work on your life right now in every area that we touch on in Scripture, that we can be prepared when that time comes, and it's coming. Heavenly Father, you agree with me in prayer. You can say a prayer to the Lord yourself, agree with mine. That's okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we stand here. And those watching on social media that I know come before their television or computer, whatever they're watching us on, that we come stand before you, the body of Christ. And Lord, we ask forgiveness in our lives for the sin of lying, which is a very dangerous thing you warned us of. It's a very dangerous thing. And we've taken it lightly, Lord. And Father, help it to become more of a danger in our hearts and our thoughts when we are tempted to lie going forward. Don't let the devil, Lord, tell us it's just a lie, just a little white lie. It doesn't hurt anybody. It does. It hurts our souls. It hurts you because you ultimately are the one we lie to. And Father, we as the body want to come before you and ask you, Lord, to help us to be truthful people. That as we grow in you, Lord, that whatever we say, people can trust it. They can know that anytime we speak it, because we belong to you, they know that we're people of truth. Help us not to be like the devil. I do not want the devil named the father of my lies. I want to be forgiven. I want to be washed in the blood. I want to be pure and righteous before you. We do as the body, Father. And Holy Spirit, we leave it in your hands to help us. For you are our helper, Lord. You are our comforter, Lord. You are the one who will convict us. You are the one through the word as we read and study it. You are the one who will speak to us and say, don't tell that lie. When we're confronted, there may be that temptation, Lord, as we come to circumstance to want to say even a simple thing, but Holy Spirit, stop us and help us to correct ourselves before we spew it out of our mouth, that we not practice being liars. And so, Lord, we commit this day to you, and we come to you, and we're praying that help us, if there are any of us in here that have been practicing it, that we walk out with a clean slate, that we're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, that we're forgiven because we come to you asking you to help me not to be a liar and forgive me of the lies I've told that I've never repented of. And help me, Lord, going forward to be aware that I can repent continually, that I can be a person, a man or woman of God that represents you, Lord, for you are truthful. And everything you put in this word that keeps us on that narrow path is truth. There are no lies. There are no misdirection. There's nothing as pure truth. Help us to live according to this, the word of God, for you are truth. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And look at somebody and say, I cannot tell a lie.